The Gemara Daf Yud Aleph, we're discussing Gemara Daf Yud Beis, sorry. I think the last thing we were discussing was Tzaras Islandis. And, we had read through the Gemara and discussed some of the preliminary issues. So I want to get into that, try to finish as much as we can today, since we then have, only one more share. So the Gemara says that, let's just go through the Gemara quickly. Amar Avasi, Tzaras Islandis, this is Yud Beis Amud Aleph. And it is about five lines up from the wide lines. Okay? So, Amar Avasi, Tzaras Islandis Asura. So, what this means is that if you have a situation where Reuven had two wives, right? Sarah and Rivka. So, if Sarah was an islandess, the question is Rivka a candidate for Yibam and Chalitza or not? Or do we say, just like you say about Tzaras Erva, that there's a din that if one of the candidates is excluded, all of them are excluded? Now, we don't always say this, as we know, as we'll discuss. For example, when it comes to Chayde Lavin, let's say one of them was excluded, but not for reasons of Kares, but for reasons of Chayde Lavin. So we don't have the rule that Chayde Lavin create, or even let's say Chayde Lavin v'ase, so then it would be a din d'oraisa. So we don't say, we say in ase do kalos ase v'ase, which means that in the Torah you're not supposed to do yibum when faced with the obstacle of an ase and a lav. But nonetheless, we don't say that the other co-wives are disqualified. Right? We don't say that. Rabbi Akiva says it. Rabbi Akiva holds that Chayde Lavin are prohibited, right? But he also thinks that there's no Tisus Kedushin, that there is a Mamzerus. So for Rabbi Akiva, it seems that, we might say the din of, or the equivalent of Chayde Lavin, being having the impact of Tzaras Erva as well. But we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. So for the Chachamim, what I'm trying to say is there are cases where there's no Yivam Daraisa, and yet there's no Ptur of Tzara. The co-wives are proper candidates. Question is, what about Tzaras Islandis? After all, an islandess is not an erva. The source, the classical case of a Ptur Tzara is Tzaras Erva. It's derived in Parshas Akrimos from Achos Ishto, his wife's sister. So if his wife's sister is included in the group that are candidates for Yibam and Chalitza, so the rule is that we draw a big circle around all the candidates and we say if one of them is excluded, one is disqualified, all of them are disqualified. That's the din of Tzaras Erva. But that happens to be a case of Erva of Chayvei Krisus. An islandess is not an Erva, right? An islandess is perfectly acceptable a wife. I mean, there are period of Arivia issues, obviously, whether Chatkila, you're allowed to marry her, etc. But the Kedushin is certainly Tofes, and it's not a problem. There's no Erva relationship whatsoever. So when Rav Asi comes along and he says that Tzaras Islandis is Asura, that's not so obvious, right? The question is, where does he get it from? To say that Islandis is not a candidate for Yibam and Chalitza is one thing. But to say that the co-wives of the islandess are disqualified as well, that is comparing it to Tzaras Erba, which is based on Xeris Akasov, and where the precedent is in the case of Erba. And it's not obvious at all that the same thing should apply to islandess. We'll have to discuss in a minute what would be the reasoning of Rav Asi that he does take the leap from Tzaras Erba to Tzaras islandess. In any case, part of the reason is, he tells us, the Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Vayaha b'chor asher teled prat la'ilnis she'eni aledes. But that doesn't solve the whole problem, because the simple reading of this Xeris HaKasuv is that asher teled prat la'ilnis she'eni aledes is a reference to her candidacy. I mean, she cannot be subject to Yibum and Chalitza, because she herself is not able to give birth, and giving birth is a sine qua non of Yibum and Chalitza. But there's nothing in that limud per se which indicates that a Tzaras islandess would be excluded. So the question remains, really, even though there is a Gzeres HaKasuv here, the matter is not so simple. Okay. The fact that we need a Gzeres HaKasuv to exclude her, right, is in itself interesting. It might be partly the answer. Those are two possible explanations why do we need this Gzeres HaKasuv Asher Teled Prat L'Ayinus. The first one is that it's not so completely obvious that an Ayinus is excluded from Yibum and Chalitza. How could that be? After all, it's L'Hakim L'Achid Shem B'Yisrael. So we'd have to say that L'Hakim L'Achid Shem B'Yisrael is a L'Chatchila, or it's not only accomplished by biological continuity. It's a method of keeping alive the legacy of the mace. But Li Yitzuya, there were other ways to do that, right? Then maybe that would be acceptable as well. So according to this perspective, the fact that you need this Gzeres HaKasuv would be an indication that, you know, there might have been a Havamina, a legitimate Havamina, that an Ayinus could be a candidate for Yibum and Chalitza. And that would go back to what we discussed at the very beginning of the year, right? Like the mentality of the Sefer HaBatim, who said that part of the story of Yibum and Chalitza is the story of providing for her, meaning for his brother's widow. She, after all, in some respect, you know, joined up with his family, and therefore his family is obligated, right, to secure her future. So mostly that is bound up with L'Hakim L'Achid Shem B'Yisrael. But what would be in a situation where it didn't? So if you need a Gzeres HaKasuv to exclude Ayinus as a candidate for Yibum and Chalitza Asher Teled Prat L'Ayinus, it might indicate that while there's a disqualification here, right, there is also a consideration that biology, that producing a child is not the only or maybe not even the primary aspect of Yibum. And that would work very well, we'll discuss it with Shami again inside in just a minute, but it would also work very well with the view of the Baalei Tosfos on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and again on Chaf Amud Beis, and in a more subtle way, which is that while you need a Gavra Haraui and Haruya, right, Levlad, somebody who has the capacity or used to have the capacity to produce children, Yibum doesn't necessarily require Befoal, in actuality, the capacity to produce a child in a particular Yibum. That's how Tosfos of Chaf Amud Aleph was explaining the problem of Ein Isha Misaberes Mibia Rishona. How could Chai Be'Lavin, we have Yibum Daraisa, and we say, Bia Rishona Atu Bia Shnia. It sounds like Minat Torah, you should have Yibum, but only one act of Yibum. But we have this idea that Ein Isha Misaberes Ela Mibia Rishona. So some Rishonim say, that's usually the case, but there are things you can do to increase your odds. Either way, it's not an absolute. You know, it doesn't enter into this particular problem. They have different ways of answering the question. But the Baalei Tosfos answer, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, is to say that L'Hakim L'Achid Shem B'Yisrael basically requires that you have a Gavra, right, who is in the Parsha of Leida, him and her. Right? And that's why the whole discussion of Sri Sakama and Sri Sadam. But if somebody doesn't have right now the capacity to produce the children, according to the Baalei Tosfos understanding of those sugyas, but once he did, once in the past, how does that help me right now? Right? The same issue. Eini Shem Misaberes Elamim B'Yerushon, if you take it literally. So there could be a number of situations where there's going to be Yibum, even where Befoal, in actuality, there is no capacity to produce children. So the Ramban, some of the other Rishonim basically shy away from that conclusion. They're very uncomfortable with it. But the Baalei Tosfos on Chaf Amud Aleph embrace it. Right? They say that as long as the individuals, right, the candidates are people who are shayach in the parsha of Leida, right, even if right now they don't have that capacity, that's fine. Akara, right, Ketana, Zakena, right, and so on. So obviously this all goes to the question, to what extent does L'Hakim L'Achim Shem B'Yisrael Ashir and the Gavra, or some factor, dimension, or is it much more than that? Is it really the focus? Again, taking it in a different direction, But the Ramban is very adamant about this thing, because the Ramban thinks that the mystical aspect of Yibum, which is Gilgul Neshamos, is really a critical part of the whole picture of Yibum, as we discussed in the beginning of the year. That's why for him, the idea that you would ignore, you know, Befoal in actuality, and just, you know, attribute the capacity for Leda as a shear in the Gavra and the people, it just doesn't make any sense. My point is, Asher Talit, Pratla Islandis, if you need Exeris HaKosov to teach you that Islandis is excluded, so that one explanation would be that works well with the Balitosis stuff, Chafam and Aleph perspective, namely with all those indications that Yibum isn't only about, isn't maybe even primarily about, producing an heir, right, who is connected in some mystical or other way with you know, with the deceased brother, but it's about other factors and other considerations, of which this is only one. And therefore you need even Exeris HaKosov to tell you that Islandis isn't a candidate. The other possibility is that Asher Talit, Pratla Islandis, this answers, you know, the first question, really refers to the din of Tzoras Erva. And of Zina Hanami, the whole point is, you don't need Exeris HaKosov to teach you that Islandis is not a candidate for Yibum. Right? That we know because if you take a pretty straightforward reading of L'Hakim L'Hakim Shem B'Yisrael, so we know that it can't be an Islandis. She doesn't have the physical capacity, right, to produce a child. So why does the Torah need to say Asher Talit in order to exclude Islandis? So the answer may be, going back to the first horror that we made, and that is, like, what is that? How does that prove Ravasi's din? It doesn't prove Ravasi, it just proves that she's not a candidate, right? The answer is, maybe that's how they understand it. To prove that she's disqualified, you don't need a limud. That flows from the Hagdara of Yibum. If you need the Torah to underscore Asher Talit, that Prat Lailanis, if that's the Mesorah of what we're trying to teach, then maybe the Mesorah is that it's not just a practical exclusion because you don't have the capacity to fulfill the mitzvah properly, but rather this is a more fundamental exclusion, one which has repercussions with respect to the problem of Tzoros. And that might be the source, it still doesn't explain how it fits into the precedent or the paradigm of Tzoras Erva, and that we'll still get back to in a minute. Yeah.
I think what bothers me with that thing is the same thing could apply to Tzoras of the Zakena. It's just like the Zakena doesn't have a kid. So you can't marry the Tzoras of the Zakena.
Well, the difference is, as Bali Tosis point out, that you know, there's still a difference between somebody who is a Gavra, a Roy, or a Ruya, a Leda, and somebody who, you know, who just because, you know, of age, and, you know, and so on, age in either direction, Katana or Akara or Zakena, etc. So that's the difference. And some Farshim always say that, you know, well, in some cases at least, if somebody, if a woman has the capacity to give birth, so, you know, it's very unlikely, obviously, at a certain point, and I guess at some point it's really impossible, but the, you know, since we're dealing with somebody who is a bas leda, in many cases, even, you know, in most cases of Zakena, there is an outside chance, and therefore, you know, leave that up to the hashkacha, but at least it's possible. Now, this is, of course, a big issue. I think we discussed it a little bit earlier in the year, but, you know, it's a big, there's a very famous tshuva, the Rav Yah, where, you know, that the Mordechai partially quotes, where they, you know, where the Rishonim themselves are wondering whether Zakena and Akara, you know, really can be subject to Yibum and Chalitza, Doraisa. And if no Yibum, what about Chalitza? And what about the din of, you know, Kolaroi Yibum, Kolaroi, you know, Komishenaroi Yibum and Ol Chalitza, which we discussed, you know, so extensively. The truth is that the Rav Yah and the Meiri in the beginning of the Masechta, interestingly enough, about Islandis, tell us that the reason that Islandis doesn't have Chalitza, like why shouldn't Islandis need Chalitza, right? That there's no Yibum in the end of the day, Asher Talit Pratla Islandis, but why not Chalitza? Right. So, as we'll see in a couple of minutes, Tosafot on Ches Amud Aleph says as a Davar Pasha, and I think this is the clear view of the majority of the Rishonim, that there's no Chalitza because there's no Zika. Meaning the exclusion of idleness is a fundamental one, and therefore, you know, there's it's like even though it isn't Erebah, if you're treating it like Erebah, right, there's no Yibum and there's no Chalitza. However, the Ravya and that Tshuva and the Meiri in the very beginning of the Masechta say that the reason that idleness doesn't have Chalitza is because of the rule, Kola Ola Liyibum Ola Chalitza Kol She'ina Ola Liyibum Eina Ola Lachalitza. Which is important because it basically means that otherwise she would, there is a kind of a Zika to an islandess, or there would have been a Zika in the islandess. It's her disqualification for Yibum that makes her disqualified for Chalitza, as opposed to saying something more fundamental, and that is she's just not in the Parsha, you know, of Yibum. So even that argument of the Rishonim, which basically is about a perspective, by which I mean, everybody agrees that islandness is excluded from Yibum. Everybody admits that islandness is excluded from Chalitza. The question is the exclusion from Chalitza, you know, a davar pashut, right? Or is it based on this, you know, this next stage, you know, she's excluded from Yibum, but therefore, you know, she ends up being excluded from Chalitza. In the end of the day, there's no argument about the fact, but there is an important argument about, you know, the basis of the principle. Yeah.
Is there any discussion of the fact that once she's passed to Yibum, she reverts back to being an Ishasach?
So we'll discuss that. Oh, good, good, good. Excellent. So that's what Rashi seems to say here. We'll get to that in just a moment. 100%. That's what Rashi. If you look at the Rashi here, Shenem Ravaya Bechar Shetelet Beru'uya Leilet Prat Lailanis. See that one? The one I think about that we just read. If Rashi says, V'kivin de Betura Kaimala Be'eshasach. Right? V'tzarasa Tzaras Erba. And therefore the tzara of this islandess is a tzara sarah. That's exactly what you said. That's how Rashi tries to bring it. Rashi didn't say v'yitomar, and didn't say v'yishlomar. He didn't clap on the table and say, I have a kashin. How could you compare? How could Avasi compare islandess to an erba? Islandess is not an erba. And he didn't say v'yishlomar, but essentially that's what he did. Right? The word, v'kivan is to explain exactly that problem. The question is, does everybody give that explanation? And if not, why not? So that's a big, big issue. That's a big issue. So what is the big issue? The big issue is, well, let me say as follows, and then we'll just read the rest of the Shaka Tari. Let me read the Shaka Tari first, and then I'll get back to this in just 1 minute, actually, just to make sure we get it. Okay. So just to get the Shaka Tari in first, the Gemara says, a massive Rav Sheshes asks, Shlosh Achim Nesu and Shlosh Nashim Nachrios, but you have the following case. And again, I just want to go through this quickly, but, you know, it's a little bit of a complication, but, you know, we'll understand it very quickly. There are three brothers who married three sisters, and they're none of them are related to each other. Okay? There's the three brothers married three different women. The women have no relationship to each other. Fine. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, but in this case, they're not related at all. Okay. So far, a simple case. Except that what happened was as follows. Reuven, let's say, died. And he left a wife, an almana, named Sarah. Right? But Asaba, Sheni, Maimar, instead of the brother, one of the brothers, two left, let's say, the Shimon and Levi. Right? Reuven, Shimon, Levi. So Reuven died, he left a wife. One wife, not related to any of the other people's wives. Everything is good. Except that, instead of Shimon doing, or Levi doing, either Yibum or Chalitza, instead they did Maimar. Now what is Maimar? Maimar is like Kiddushe Kesef, or Kiddushe Shtar, in the context of Yibum. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Maimar solves the problem of Zika Daraisa. But Beis Hillel doesn't. Beis Hillel thinks that the din of Maimar is only a din d'rabbanan. Okay, and if one brother does Maimar, so then the other brothers, Midrabanan, can no longer do Yibum. And there are other consequences as well. But that's only a Dindrabanan. Now, because it's a Dindrabanan, and that's all he did, so on a Drabanan level, what happens has been complicated in the following way. So now Reuven dies. Shimon does Maimar with Sarah. Right? And Shimon has his own wife, Rivka. Correct? Now Shimon dies, and leaves no children. And now Levi faces, right, Reuven's Almana Sarah and Shimon's Almana Rivka. Now, normally, right, if Shimon had done Yibum, so then there would be no problem, because Sarah would now be one of the wives of Shimon. So there would be two candidates for a single Yibum, right, B'Torah Shimon. Right? That's not what happened, though. What happened was that Shimon did Maimar. Now, by doing Maimar, so when we look at Sarah now, who is Sarah? Is Sarah the Almana of Reuven? So the Almana of Reuven? Or is Sarah the Almana of Shimon? The answer is she's a little bit of each. Because Minat Torah, she's still the Almana of Reuven. But Midrabanan, she's kind of the Almana of Shimon. So that's called Esha Shnei Mesim, which means that Sarah is coming to Levi as a candidate, right, from two different husbands, right? So we know of the possibility of multiple, you know, wives, but you can't have a single wife, you know, whose origins are two different husbands. Okay? Now again, had there been a proper Yibum by Shimon, we wouldn't look at it and we would say, oh, the books are closed on the Reuven situation. Now she's a full wife of Shimon. Right? But that's not what happened. So that's called Esha Shnei Mesim. Anyways, the only reason this is important right here is because the Gemara made a comment about it, and the question was to interpret the comment. And whether that comment isn't an attempt, right, to contrast with Iwana. So it goes as follows. So this is a story. One more time. Shlosh Achim Nisuin Shalosh Nashim Nafrios. Three brothers married three unrelated women. Umetzachad Meham. Reuven died. Basabah Sheni Maimar. And Shimon, right, his brother, did a Maimar on Sarah, the wife of Reuven. And then Shimon died, so now he leaves Sarah, and he leaves his normal wife, Rivka. Hare Elu calls us below Misyapos. So both Sarah and Rivka, now remember, Rivka shouldn't have been a problem. Why should Rivka be a problem? Rivka is the wife of Shimon. She only ever was the wife of Shimon. And Shimon now died. So normally that would be a normal Yibum or a Chalitza situation. But because Sarah, you know, is complicating everything here, and her status is all mixed up because she's both Almanas Reuven and Almanas Shimon. She is Esha Shnei Mesim. So Esha Shnei Mesim is not only excluded from Yibum, but also has a Tzara excluding capacity as well. That's really what we're saying. Except the only Drabon. So the point is, Harelu Chol Tzos V'lo Misyamos. Neither Tzara nor Rivka can be a Yibum candidate, but both of them require Chalitza. Both of them require Chalitza. Why both of them require Chalitza? Why isn't one sufficient, one Chalitza for both of them? The answer is because Sarah still goes back to Reuven. So on the perspective that we never solved the Nezika of Reuven, but there are two different Yibums, and each one needs solving, therefore there has to be a Chalitza for both Sarah and for Rivka. That's the conclusion. Shenemar, what is this all based on? It's really the Drabana, but what's the Asmachta? It says, Ubeis Echad Mehem, if one of them, one of the brothers, Kiyeshu Akam Yachta, the brothers live together, Ubeis Echad Mehem, and one of the brothers dies, Yavama Yabo Aleha, right? So that's the din. Mi Shaleh Zika Shalva Mechad, Velo Zika Shnei Yamin. So the Gemara says, the din is that Yavama Yabo Aleha, if she comes from one brother, but one woman coming from two different brothers, right, there's no Yibum there, and apparently not only is there no Yibum, but there's a disqualification of Tzara as well. That's why when in commenting on this they say, Rabbi Yosef says, Zui Tzoras Eishas Ach Me'av. This is an example of Eishas Ach Me'av. Now, Eishas Ach Me'av is a strange kind of phrase here. That's just another way of saying the Eishas Ach of meaningful, you know, Yibum, which is always only Me'av. But it's an interesting formulation. I think there's a reason for it also, but we'll get to that maybe. Tzoras Eishes Achmiav, she'iser nefila, that the iser in the way that she was nofel to Levi, namely from both sides, Garamla, caused her, you know, to have this special din that, you know, she is not subject to Yibum, and that her tzara is not subject to Yibum either. Shalom Atzin, and then he adds, Shalom Atzin b'chol Torah kula kagon zos. Right? Because in Daraisas we don't find this idea. Rashi explains that that means that the din of Eishes Shnei HaMeisim can only apply if you have this din d'rabbanan like mine. As I think I mentioned, I don't remember if already, but this, I think it was 2-3 weeks ago, last time we met, if I didn't mention it then, I'll mention it now, the Bali Tosis in a few places, Tosin of Yudah Ben Aleph earlier, and in Gittin, Peibes, and a few other places, thinks that there is something called Eishes Shnei HaMeisim, the same idea, a patur of Eishes Shnei HaMeisim, which is Daraisa as well. It goes back to their explanation of the Gemara in Gittin, which we discussed extensively earlier in the year. Remember the case where somebody gets divorced and he says, I hereby divorce you on one condition, and that is that you not marry this one person. And she goes out and marries that person's brother, right? Then he dies, and now the person who, you know, she is the only person in the world that can undercut her get, you know, is facing her in the Yibum. We talked about that earlier in the year, etc. Okay. The big long Tosis that discusses that issue, Tosis says, I think that there can be, in that kind of a case, the details are not for now, an Eishes Shnei HaMeisim Daraisa. Anyways, Rashi thinks Eishes Shnei HaMeisim is only Drabbanan. This idea that Eishes Shnei HaMeisim is only Drabbanan. And that's what these words mean in the Gemara, according to Rashi. According to Tosis, they'd have to mean a case like this, not all cases. My love, Lemutei Tzara, oh, okay, fine. So then, B'chol Torah Kula, we don't find anything like this. So then they zero in on the following words, which is why this is here. Zuhi limute. The word zuhi is to exclude something else. Well, what are they comparing it to? Like, what are they looking over their shoulder at? The answer is, my love, limute tsar silenus. The shari, that's also a case of eshet ach, and so on. So, even though there's no capacity to be miyabe in this woman, because she's an islandess, but maybe the point is that there's no tzara, there's no psul tzara either. So what do we see? That would be a raya against Ravasi. So the Gemara says, lo, lebute tzaras ailunis da sira. It's exact opposite. It's true that the contrast is to tzaras, to ailunis and tzaras ailunis, but not that tzaras ailunis is mutter, but that tzaras ailunis is even more asur. Because what do we say about Eishes Shnei HaMeisim, this drabanan Maimar case, we said that not only is she excluded from Yibum, she excludes her tzara from Yibum as well. But both of them require chalitza, right? What we're trying to say going forward is that for Eilanis, the exclusion is even greater. It also excludes, right, chalitza. There's no requirement of Yibum or chalitza. There's a total tour tzara. Maizu, right? Zuhi, the Eastern Apila Garma Tsarasa, Boy Chalitza. Islandess, Apila Chalitza, the boy. My time of why? Why distinguish between Islandess and Eishes Shnei HaMeisim? So the Gemara says, Hodaraisa, Hodarabanan. Very fascinating. Because the problem of Islandess is the Raisa problem. The problem of the Maimar is only a Drabanan problem. Because we pass it like Beis Hillel. Maimar doesn't really do anything in that Torah. So it's like there was no Yibum at all. From Chivu. So then Midoraisa, what should have really happened was that he, Levi, faces two different Yibum situations. One, the as yet unresolved Zika of Sarah, the widow of Reuven, because nothing happened in Minatara. And he also faces the recent, you know, Zika situation of Rivka, the wife of Chivu. So he has two Yibum situations on his hand, juggling, but no problem implementing. He can do two Yibums, he can do two Chalitzas, he can do one Yibum and one Chalitza. They're two different Tadinim, that's all. That's all, the Torah, that's what it is. Okay, that's the Gemara. So far, basically, what we're saying is there's no Raya against Ravasi. Ravasi can live with that statement. Then the Gemara has another suggestion. The Gemara says, Tzad, Bekulin, Ebeso, Omienu, and Iskarshu, Oshininso, Ailus, Sorsem, Butaros. This goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said there were 15 ervas which right, are disqualified from Yibum and Chalitza, and also disqualify the co-wives, meaning if Reuven dies and he leaves three wives, one of whom is Shimon's niece, Shimon's mother-in-law, Shimon's daughter-in-law, it doesn't make a difference, some relative that Shimon cannot have a Yibum relationship with, so the other co-wives are also disqualified. That's the 15 arayos, right, which exclude not only them which are disqualified and which disqualify Tzara. That's the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, however, there are four occurrences that can change this equation. There are four things that can happen, right, that will rehabilitate the Tzaros, if you will. What are that? Let's say Sarah, who is the daughter of Shimon, who married Shimon's brother Reuven, as Reuven married his niece, and two other women, right? So let's say that Sarah dies before Reuven dies. So then by the time the Yibum begins, she's already out of the picture. So does she contaminate the Tzaros then? The answer is not if you hold anyways, which we do hold, that Misa Matalas. Okay. There's a debate in the Gemara later on in Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Maybe we'll do that as a final topic if we get a chance. We'll see that whether Nisuin Mapilin or Misa Mapelas. That's the debate in the Gemara. Which of these two? So the point is that we paskin mostly Misa Mapelas, except for the Balamor and Daflamid, who seems to say otherwise. That needs to be understood too. But basically Misa Mapelas. So the point is, if by the time Reuven dies, the Sara, the Erva, right, is out of the picture because she died, then there's no Ptur Tzara. Or let's say there was a Gerushin. Let's say Reuven, right, divorced his niece, the daughter of Shimon, before he died. Right? Messy family politics, you can imagine. But let's say that's what happened, and therefore by the time that the Yibum / Chalitza was triggered, she was no longer one of the wives. That's the second event. The third is Miun. Miun is, let's say, Shimon, right, was, Sarah, the daughter of Shimon, or the former daughter-in-law of Shimon, let's say she was a katana, and, she was given in that capacity, not by her father, but, there are different scenarios I don't want to go into right now, but the point is that that's called Kiddushin Miun, which means literally the right of refusal, meaning any time she wants to get out of that marriage, she can. It's only conditioned Rabbanan that she can get out any time she wants. So if she exercises Miun, the right of refusal, before he dies, possibly even after he dies, but certainly before he dies, so once again there's no din of Tzaras Erva. And the fourth one is Islandus. Let's say Sarah, the daughter of Shimon, right, who's the Erba, who's contaminating the group, let's say that she is an islandess. So the Mishnah says that she's an islandess like the other three, then the Tzaros are candidates. They're not going to be disqualified as candidates. Everybody clear on that? That's what the Mishnah says. That's the line in the Mishnah. It's not the Kula Nemeso Mino Nizgarshu Ocean into islandess, one of these four cases, the last of which is islandess, Tzarosein Mutaros. The Tzaros are going to be permitted in that circumstance. So what do we see? That Islandus is actually Makshir when it comes to Tzaros. It's certainly not Posel. Ravasi said that if you have an Islandus and someone else, even if there's no Erva, there's an exclusion and a disqualification. And the Mishnah seems to say if you have an Islandus, even if you have a real Erva, but the combination of the Erva that is an Islandus is Makshir the Tzaros. Everybody with me? So that's the question. This Mishnah seems to be against Ravasi, dramatically against Ravasi. So here's what the Gemara says: Lo kasha, kan shehikirba, kan shelo hikirba. Daikanami the tanisha nimtzu velo tanisha hayu. The Mishnah says nimtzu islandess. Turns out she was an islandess. So the way the Gemara understands it now is the implication is as follows: he married Shimon's daughter, right, or Shimon's daughter-in-law, whatever it is, and he, a former daughter-in-law, he married her. And he presumed that she was going to develop, properly, normally. It turns out that, she was an islandess. So that's called a mekachtos. And a mekachtos, right, like a get or a misa or a miyun, is a reason to exclude her from the group. Ah, what is Rav Asi talking about? Rav Asi is talking about a situation of Savra v'kibla. He knew she was an islandess, he married her anyway. There's no mekachtos. The only question is, she's not a worthy candidate for Yibum. The question is her disqualification a contaminating disqualification? Because it's one which excludes the other women as well. Right? That's the Chiddush of Rav Asi. That's not against the Mishnah. The Mishnah only says that an islandess, which is a mekachtos, right, is not a problem. It doesn't say that an intentional marriage to an islandess, right, is not an issue. Okay, that's the Gemara. And that's the difference between Nimtzu and Hoyu. Okay, Shema Mina. Then the Gemara says, however, even if there's no Kasha against Rav Asi, Omar Rava, you should know that Rava disagrees and says, Hilchasad Saras Islandess Muteres, Yafilu Hikirba. Rava said, I think it's wrong. Islandess is excluded from Yibum, and presumably from Chalitza as well. However, islandess does not generate a p'tur tzara, and that is true afilu hikirba, even if there's no mekachtos. Okay. Then he adds another line: the afilu tzaras bito islandess. Not only is it true that there is no p'tur tzara, right, based on the reality of islandess, but actually, if she is an erva and she's also an islandess, even though there's no mekachtos, right, that will also negate or neutralize the disqualification of the other women. In other words, you have the following situation. The daughter of Shimon married Reuven, right, and he knew all along that she's an islandess. So she's an islandess, and she's also his daughter. Now Reuven dies, so Shimon is facing three candidates for Yibum and Chalitza, one of whom is his daughter, right, who's an islandess. Now, if she wasn't an islandess, all the candidates would be disqualified because of the presence of his daughter among them. Right? Since she's an islandess, Rava's saying the other candidates are fine. So Rava's saying not only against Rav Asi, not only are the tsaros of an islandess not disqualified, actually, if she's an islandess, that will rehabilitate the other candidates. The question, of course, is why. The Ella Hada Katoni Shenimtzu. Ah, but the Mishnah says Nimtzu. Sounds like the only reason that, you know, islandess, right, is Machshir, the other candidates, is because of Mekatos. So the Gemara says, Ella Hada Katoni Shenimtzu. Tani Shehoyu. You're right, you have to change the gear so back to Shehoyu. That's the end of the Gemara. Okay. Rava said two chidushim. So basically what we have is Rav Asi said a chiddush, that Saras islandess is disqualified, and we have to figure out how did that fit in with the din paradigm of Saras erva. That's the problem of Rav Asi. The problem of Rava is the other way. It's probably not so difficult to understand why Rava thinks that Saras islandess does not disqualify the tsaros. That's probably not as difficult to understand. What's more difficult is the second din of Rava, which seems to be that Saras islandess, right, are actually ksherim even if there's an erva. Somehow, if you put together islandess and erva, that is makshir, the other candidates. Why is being an islandess worse? Better than not being an islandess. Then it's not worse, we understand, but why should it be better? This second point in particular seems not to be accepted by everyone. There are a few Rashis that seem, not explicitly, but implicitly, to reject it. That's to say that even though we go with Rava, that Saras islandess is not Asura, but Saras Bito islandess, right, all things being equal, would be Asura, if not for Mekachtos. If you look at Rashi on Tzadi Aleph, Omid Beis, Rashi Dumasko, Hoku Tzoros Elu B'nissu. Hoku Tzoros Elu B'nissu, L'shuk. Okay? The Nimtzeis Ha'erva Hi, Linus. Everybody with me? What?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like in the middle of the page. Halkotzaras Elavinisu. The Shukran Inso Erba Islandis. Okay, so you have a situation where the Erba is an Islandis. The Noda Shehuzkaka Sarasa Liyibum Lamafreya. The Erba Islandis Ena Poteres Sarasa. Okay, so far so good. If you have an Erba who's also an Islandis, in other words, Shimon's daughter happens to be an Islandis, so then the Tsaros are rehabilitated, they're kshar. That's what Rava said, right? Except the problem is that look what Rashi adds the next few words. The Islandis mekachtosu, belab ishtohi, the einzu Tsaros Erba, luzukuka liyava, kitani tarakava, kulan shemeso shemino shim. So Islandis, so same with Taros. So Rashi, right, quoting here the din of Rava, but not according to the reasoning of Rava. Rava said even if we have the gears on the Mishnah Shahayu and it's not midin mekachtos, there's just a din that islandis combined with erva is makshir the tzaros. That's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says for Rava. Rashi here is quoting that halacha, but basing it on mekachtos of the Mishnah. Right? Question is, on what basis? So it would seem that Rashi was uncomfortable with the second din of Rava. It's one thing to say that islandis doesn't trigger a hafkas tsaros. It's another thing to say that it's makshir tsaros when they would have been prohibited or disqualified by virtue of an existing erva. And the question is why. So what's really going on in Rava, one problem, and in Ravasi, the other problem? Okay. So, the question is where to start. Let's start with Ravasi. We don't pass on like Ravasi, so let's still go through Ravasi a little more quickly. So the question is, what is Ravasi's idea based on? Right, Tsaras Islandis is Asura, right? In Ptura, and even though it's seemingly not Tsaras Erba. So the first possibility is the one that you already mentioned, which is based on the Rashi. And Rashi says, here on Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, we already read, right? Shenemar v'hoyu b'char sh'teilu b'riya leile prat ha'ilanis, v'kivin to b'tura kaima le b'eshasach v'tarasa tzaras erba. Rashi seems to say that the answer to the question is that there is no question. Because what did you ask? Tzaras erba, we learned that from Achos, Ishto, you don't have that in the case of ha'ilanis. We do. Because since she's an islandess and therefore she cannot be a Yavama, right? Therefore she, says Rashi, she becomes back, or she reverts to Eshes Ach. Once she reverts to Eshes Ach, so then her Tzara is the Tzara of an Erva. Tzara's Erva is the Mishnah. That's how Rashi interprets it. Of course there are some issues to face. Why doesn't everybody say this? Maybe everybody does. Well, let me just show you first that not everybody says it, and then we'll discuss it. Yerushalmi doesn't seem to say it. The Rambam doesn't seem to say it. They would seem to have a different pshat in Ravasi or in general. Look at the Yerushalmi. I'm just going to skip to the end of it first, and then we'll go back to the beginning. But the first Yerushalmi on the page in this group of sheets, Makoros, Binyan, Tsaros, Islandis. So if you look at towards the end of the Yerushalmi says, three lines before the bottom, Asi Amar, everybody have that? Tsaras Islandis Asura. So the Yerushalmi says, Masnita Pligi Al Asi, I, Rav Asi's din is against the Mishnah, exactly the question the Babli asked. Because the Mishnah says, "Bekulan," right? This line number 4 or 5. I don't have the what's the official number. What?
10.
Line 10?
So
set 10. Set 10. Okay. Yeah. The one on Tsaras Islandis. Okay. Bekulan beisu al miyano nizgarsho shenitzu islandis sorsem utaros. That's the question. He doesn't answer. So the Yerushalmi goes on and says, Rabbi Bun Barchia Mishum Rab Abba Bar Mamel Mad Marasi Kirabi Meir. We have to explain Rav Asi by Rav Meir. Rav Meir Amar Kol She'ein At Miyameini Ein At Miyabim Tzaraso. Okay, so what does that mean? Sounds like they're bothered by Rav Asi. How do you explain Rav Asi? And it sounds like the answer they're giving is that not what we said for Rashi. What we said for Rashi is if there's no Heter, Yibum, then this is Yisrei Shesach, and this is Yisrei Shesach, and this is Tzara Serva. Right, it's a good explanation. It sounds like what they're saying is a little bit different. What they're saying is that Tzaros, right, are all in it together. The Zika falls on one and all the Vatzachas. And the rule is you have to have the potential to be Miyavim, whichever one you want. And if it's Batla Mitzasa, then it's Batla Kula. That's very fascinating. Now, this would highlight something that we discussed when we talked about the Gemara Mem Nahum Amud Aleph, and earlier when we talked about Ryokhan and Reish Lakish extensively on Yud Amud Beis, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The question of collective or individual Zikas. Is every Gibum candidate independently a candidate, or representationally or collectively? And there still might be a difference between representational and collective, but that's not for now. The point is that if you look at them as a group, so what you're saying is, you know what, he has to take over, partially take over, his brother's Ishus. But his brother's Ishus, right, is a collective. And the point is that that either stands or falls, right, as a group. That's what the words mean. Kol she'enach miyavmeini, enach miyavim, probably should be tzarasi instead of tzarasa. That seems to be Shitas HaRambam. If you look at the Rambam in Perek Vav, Hilchos Yibum V'Chalitza, Halacha Yud Dalid, the Rambam's description of the Ptur of Tzaras Erva seems to work in exactly the same way. So let me just, before I read it, let me just add one other point. What was the question that we asked? How did Rav Asi get from Tzaras Erva, which is Din in Achos Isha, and as the example is Erva, how does he get from there to Islandus, where there's no Erva? It's not an illicit relationship. Right, so according to Rashi, the answer is, well, Eshesach comes into the picture, and once Eshesach is in the picture, that's the Erva, and it becomes Tzaras Erva. But according to the Ushalbi and the Rambam, I'll try to show in a second, that's not what happens here. So the answer to the question, how do you get from one to the other, is, who said that it's a Din and Erva? And as we know, that Achos Isha is a Din, that there is a din of Erva, and that there's a din of Tzaras, Ptur, Tzara, under those conditions. But it doesn't say anywhere that the Mechayev, or the Oser, or the Ptur, is Dafka, Ptoras, Erva. Erva might be, right, an example of something more general, which applies equally, in this case, to Islandus. What is that something more general? A fundamental reason, a fundamental disqualification. Whatever the reason may be. What do I mean by fundamental disqualification? As opposed to what I mentioned earlier, which is, if somebody is subject to chayde lav and viase, right? So there's no yibum, but no one ever said there's a ptur tzara. I mean, there are other cases where there's no ptur tzara. What's the difference? The difference, according to this perspective, would be, if you cannot implement yibum, even though you have a good candidate for it, but just the price is too high, right? Because ein ase doke lo sase viase. That doesn't mean that there's no candidate or that it's not shayach. It doesn't mean that there's no chiyuv. It means this chiyuv doesn't overweigh that iser. That's an example of the inability to implement yibum. That doesn't trigger, according to many, it's actually a suffix to the Mishnah Melech, but according to many, that doesn't trigger an Isra Shesach. If the exclusion would be more fundamental, for example, the Rambam, there's some evidence that the Rambam thinks that if we're dealing with the case of an Isra Sota, which is only Chayvei Lavin also, but in that situation there might be Chiyuv Karis, becomes a Shesach. What I'm trying to say is, there are cases where you cannot do Yibum. In each case where you can't do Yibum, you have to ask yourself, you know, what exactly is going on? You can't do Yibum because implementing Yibum comes at too high a price and you can't justify this mitzvah under these conditions. Then you'll not have Eishes Ach, and then you'll never have a Petur Tzara. But if you have an internal reason, not an external one, right? Not a lack of implementation, but an exclusion, a disqualification, so then, A, either you might say that generates an Eishes Ach, and in turn it's Erva, or you might say this idea of Yerushalmi and the Rambam, which is, if that's the situation, then the Batla Miktasa, Batla Kula, the collective Zika, dictates that nothing happens here. Because if you could really marry, you could do Yibum, just you can't do Yibum, meaning she's a candidate, but the price is too high and you can't justify the fallout. So there's no reason why you can't do it with her compatriots. She's not excluded, she just can't be the candidate. But if she's excluded, then there's a pagam, right, in the collective Ishus or Zika. And that is a fatal flaw here. Now look at the language of the Rambam. Misha meis achim v'niach shnei nashim. Right, this is a perek vav halacha yadalit. A man dies and he leaves two wives. Ha'achas asura li'vava mishamerva. One is prohibited mishamerva. Ushniya in erva. The second one is not erva. That's a good candidate and a bad candidate. Right. So Beis Shammai would tell you the good candidate's a good candidate, the bad candidate's out because Beis Shammai doesn't believe in the Petura of Tzara. Right. But Beis Hillel does. So we pass it like Beis Hillel, and the Rambam is going to now try to explain what Beis Hillel had in mind. Kishen sha'erva petura min achalitza u'min ayibum kach tzarasa petura. Just as the erva is excluded, so is the tzara. Velo nafla lo zika al bayis zeklau. That's the key added words of the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't just say, oh, it becomes an erva. It becomes tzaras erva. We'll see what he says in a minute. What he says is velo nafla lo zika al bayis zeklau. The Zika is a bias or nothing proposition. Shenemar, if he can pick and choose whichever one he wants, fundamentally, right? Who sheyeshal of Zika, then the Zika applies to the whole bias. Bias shemiktsaso. I wonder whether the phrase Batla Mitzasa, Batla Kula, which we associate with similar ideas, ages, other things, isn't resonating in the Rambam. Ubayish Shemiktsasa, any Yachal Ignoso, Shaila Boli Kuchin, Haina Bona, Fila Miktsaso, Shaila Mutter, Vinintasos, Erva Lab Shemeshus Achim, Shaila Lazika. What's the last line? Sounds like the last line that Rashi is saying something like, that Rambam is saying something like Rashi. Ah, he is, but he's not. In other words, what's he say? The Gemara says in Abchesam and Aleph in Yavamos, we saw this earlier in the year, that if you were to go ahead and try to be Miyabim at Saras Erva, you'd be Chayiv Karis. The Gemara learns that from a drasha. That's a very astonishing deal. It's one thing to say that there is no Yibam or there's a prohibition to do Yibam with the Tzaras Erva. It's quite something else to say that if you go ahead, it's kares. Where did that come from? So that's what the Rambam is addressing here. Now again, if you hold like Rashi that we saw a minute ago, the answer is simple. Right? Once this person, the Erva, right, or whatever, is not a candidate for Yibam, they become Eishes Ach. Right? The Tzara becomes an Eishes Ach once she's excluded as well. Then you have an Erva that creates a Tzara's Erva. The Tzara's Erva is also an Erva. Eishes Ach. The point is the Rambam holds its way as well. But the Rambam doesn't think that this is the cause of the din of Tzara's Erva. The Rambam thinks it's the result of Tzara's Erva. That's why he has it at the end of the Halakha. But I'm saying it could have been that the din would have been that Tzaras Erva is excluded and there's no Kares. But as it happens, there is Kares because he becomes Eishes Ach. Not Eishes Ach, the source for Tzaras Erva. Eishes Ach, the result of Tzaras Erva. And I think that's what the Yerushalmi has in mind as well. There is, however, I think, a third pshat, potential pshat, in Rav Asi. And that is based on the Havamin of the Yerushalmi, and I think it's the view of the Bali Tosis also. And then I'll explain what the issue is with Rashi. Look at the first Yerushalmi again, and look at the beginning of it. We'll discuss it more fully. We talk about the Chachamim in a minute, or Rav in a minute. Rabun Barchia Amarav Abba Bar Mamo Boy. I own this Ve'esh Zakat Shalaya Balama Hoyim Parsha. We started reading this a few weeks ago. We didn't get so far. Right? If you look at the Psukim in Parshas Kisetze, so there's reference to two different dinim. Right? One is the din of Zakat Shalaya Balama, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachta. Right? Let's say one of the brothers is born after Reuven, the mace, died. Right? They weren't alive at the same time. That's one din. And that is a din where there's no Yibum. Not only is there no Yibum, but there's a Ptur Tzara. Right? And there's another thing mentioned or nirmaz in the Parsha. And that is Asher Teled Prat Islandis. That, you know, Islandis is not a candidate either. So Asher Shalev Alam was not a candidate, and then Islandis is not a candidate. That's what he said. Island is Veshasak Shalay Balama Hoga Parsha. Macham is name Island is Sarasa Mataris. Veshasak Shalay Balama Sarasa Asura. What reason do we say that there's a Ptur or Afka or Isra of Tzara when it comes to Veshasak Shalay Balama? And not with regard to Island is, as the Yerushalmi is talking about Rava or the equivalent of Rava. Basically saying, what's wrong with Tsaras Islandis, why should there not? So what's wrong with the din that Tsaras Islandis should also be Psula? So Yerushalmi gives a very important answer. Yerushalmi says, Amarlei Islandis vitam acher otseisa. Islandis is excluded in a different way than Achad Shalaya Balamo. Hashatela Yatza Zu Sheni Aledes. It's because you can't give birth. So you want to extend her disqualification to the tzaros. It's enough the chiddush that she's excluded herself. This is a remarkable Yerushalmi. We'll come back to it in just a second. But Eishasach Shalei Balam was a real Eishasach, which is problematic, and for which there is no din. Okay, the answer in terms of the islandness, I'm going to get back to in just a minute because it's very crucial, and it really fits the perspective that we mentioned earlier. I said, why do we even need Xeris HaKosov to teach Rosh HaTelet Prat islandness? Why would anybody think that an islandness could be a candidate for Yibum when there's a din of, right, L'Hakim L'Hakim Shem Yisrael? So this line of Yerushalmi, Lo Dayaka, what do you mean Lo Dayaka? It's a chiddush to say that an islandness is excluded from Yibum. How should she be part of Yibum? Yibum is all about Lach and Lach of Shem Yisrael. So if you say Lo Dayeka, it's consistent with the need for Xeris HaKasuv, and again, the perspective that there could have been a Yibum, right, absent the biological, you know, continuity factor. Okay, we'll get back to that in just a second. That's the Chachot. What I want to point out for Rav Asi is the following. If you look at the Tosas on Chesam and Aleph, which we also have here. You can look at it. It's the next piece. There's two Yerushalmis, and the third one is Tosan Chesam and Aleph. Or you can look at it in your Gemara, either way. So the Gemara in Chesam and Aleph, Dibur Maskil, Trei Yisurei Michad Yisurei Layofinam, the second Tosas. Tosas says, Avol Shalom, Mokam Ibum, Kigon Tsar Spita Yofinam, Yitoba, second line. Ulravasi, Amai Poteris Islandis Tsarasa, Machad Yisuro. Okay? Why does Rav Asi think Tosos is a different context, but basically he's asking the question to justify Rav Asi. Why does Rav Asi think islandness is disqualifying also the tzaros? Tosos is an amazing thing. Geshlomar, Dimi Manavshach, Ihi Asira, Yalfina Mashatel with Patla islandness. She's excluded because of the Xeris HaKasu. Vilohachi Tzaros Anami Asura. Therefore her tzara is excluded as well. Sounds like the Rashi, except that then he adds, V'chein Aishas Akiv Shalaya Balamo. Now, why is he compared to Aishas Akiv Shalaya Balamo? Well, first of all, that's the Yerushalmi's question. The Yerushalmi asked, Right, what's the difference between Eishes Akher Shalei Balam and Eilas? Tosis is basically saying the Pshat Ravasi is that it's like Eishes Akher Shalei Balam. Wow. That's not what Yerushalmi himself said, because Yerushalmi himself said, what's the reasoning of Ravasi? And they came up with this other idea, if you can't be Miyavim everybody, you can't be Miyavim anybody. That's not what Tosis is saying. Tosis is saying the real reasoning of Ravasi is the question of Yerushalmi, the comparison to Akiv Shaloya Bolom. And Tosis likes it so much that they go on to say, well, Kasha, my Tavadamanda Polygon Ravasi. Right? In other words, instead of saying, you know, how do we understand Ravasi? You know, they're saying, how do we understand Rava? What? How do we understand Rava? Actually, the Shlomar, Kivin Da'il, we'll get back to this also. Kivin Da'il, the Slabat Sibum, the Shumakom, Kashiva Tarasa, Katara Serbish, Lobamakom, Mitzvah, the Shari. The Lodami Island is the Chai V'Yasei. Don't think an island is just like a small problem of Chai V'Yasei. Right, because the Alpina and the Perak Sheni, lechalitzo, the island is miyatan kasa behejid lohava bekal heter eishesach. We'll get back to Tosa in a minute, but Tosa basically seems to be saying that the onus, the burden of evidence, is to prove Rava. Ravasi makes a lot of sense. Ravasi makes sense because it's like al kushali abalamo. Not only that, look at Tosa on lamid base omer aleph, which we also have here. And in the sheets you have it, the next piece. But if you want to look at it inside, the Gemara here talks about the following issue. Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskil, Lo Paka, second to last tosis. Gemara has the following case. Gemara says that sometimes you have a situation of Achos Ishto, right? Let's say two men, married sisters. So then the question is, who married who first? Ah. Who married who first? So, let's say... why do we care who married who first? Because the problem of Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. That's the question. Do we care about Ein Iser Chal Iser or not? So let's say... Normally, when you have a Yibum situation, you have Eishasach. And Yibum, right, overcomes Eishasach. That's what Yibum is, as we've been saying all along, correct? So let's say, you say, Ein Iser Chal Al Iser, and the Iser of Eishasach came first. Let's say the brother Reuven married his wife. Reuven married Sarah before Shimon married Sarah's sister Rivka. Okay, so first Sarah was his Eishes Ach, and then after he married his wife, Sarah became his Achos Ishto. Right? But if you hold Ein Iser Chal Al Iser, so basically we should mostly be discounting the fact that she is Achos Ishto, and focusing only on the Iser of Eishes Ach. But the tricky part of all of this is where the ingenuity comes in, that Yibum, right, is not, there's no obstacle of Eishes Ach, but there is an obstacle of Achos Isha. So the question is, in this particular situation, if you hold Ein Iser, Chal Al Iser, maybe there should be Yibum, right? So the Gemara says, no. Doesn't work that way, because since the second that you suspend Eishes Ach, you've got, you know, the fallback position of Achos Ishto. So even though Ein Iser Chal Al Iser, since it's mitla toli v'koi, since, you know, lingering in the background there, right, looming large, is the next Iser. So that next Iser dictates that you don't get that far. Okay, we need to explain that, right? That's, what exactly does that mean? In other words, if you will encounter an Achos Isha having done Yibum, then we won't let you do Yibum to begin with, even though right now, technically, you're not facing Achos Isha, you're facing Eishes Ach, and Eishes Ach is not usually an obstacle to Yibum.
Well, what's the rationale of
Chal Al Iser? It's a big topic. I mean, basically, there are different ways to explain it. Some people think it's just an onish halacha, in which case it's easier to explain here. It's actually more difficult to understand the havamina that it would matter if it's just an onish thing. And so you don't pile on onshim. You already have a chayve krisus, and it's a chal al iser. The more fundamental idea is the idea that, you know, that Yisurim, like, you know, there's a certain, I guess, integrity, you know, even to Yisurim. And the point is that they don't, Yisurim fall on neutral matters. Right? If something already, you know, has a definition, an Yisur definition, so the other Yisur isn't Chal. It's a very fascinating idea. In other words, you know, it's like almost a reverse Osik v'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. You know, belechtecha, you know, baderech. You know, if the Torah already has you, you know, involved in something, so you're not in a state of neutrality, you know, there's you can't be obligated in a state of neutrality. Right. Similarly, you can't be prohibited unless you're in a state of neutrality. It's almost like the reverse of that idea, if it's more fundamental. Here, if this is going to be very significant, or if you understand the Hava Mina, you have to say something like that. In other words, that even on the Chalos Iser level, not just on the Onshin level, it's not just, you know, you don't pile on, you know, punishments. You know, this is already covered, and it's like a Kavli Bedrava Mina kind of a thing. You know what I'm saying? So you have to say that it's something more, that, you know, you need a, you know, a neutral state for an Iser to be Chal.
Actually, it's exactly a
Kavli, right? No. Well, no, not really, but it's something like it. It's on the level, not so much of Maisa, but it's an overlap somewhat. Anyways, the point is, yeah.
Perhaps he could hang around so that if the Beato's first wife dies, he can then go after the evil?
Say that one more time?
Does that Zika hang around?
What is Zika? You mean if the...
His wife dies, can he go ahead and then the evil with the other one?
If the wife dies,
his wife dies.
If the Yavam's wife dies,
yes.
So it depends when she died. If she died, if she died after the Zika began,
right? That's
what
the Zika hang around, even though he can't.
Once is Akos Isha at the moment at the beginning of the Zika, that's called Nasra.
Correct. After his wife
died, but that's it. Also, that's the Gemara later on. The Gemara says Nasra the Hutra, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's the issue. That's a
right.
Gemara. That's a big discussion. Right. When we say that's the Rav and Shmuel, Nasra the Hutra the Chazar the Nasra.
Right.
A kind of a dichui issue. That's an issue. But usually we say that.
Not Nasra the Hutra. At that point, there's no more.
Nasra the Hutra is Hutra the Nasra. It's.
Right.
Also different, all sorts of different cases. Anyways, these are all different cases. These are all part of that whole discussion. Anyways, Tosis here is trying to explain this issue. So he says, Lo paka, afagav de lo chayel iser achos isha, even if you hold any sechal iser, and Reuven married his wife before Shimon married his wife, sisters in other words. So again, if you hold any sechal iser, so Sarah, wife of Reuven, was an Eshes Ach, and therefore there was no Chalos Iser of Achos Isha. Right? That's what Tosfos explains. Apagav de Lochayel Iser Achos Isha. So then you should say that there would be, if not a Heter Yibum, at least a Heter to the Tzaros, because there's no Erva, you know, to create Tzaros Erva. Nonetheless, Asura Nami Hatzara Li Yibume. We do apply the din of Tzaras Erva, even according to the Mandamar, Ein Iser Chalal Iser, Kivin de Lopaka Iser Eishas Ach, right? Because in addition to everything else, Iser of Eishas Ach is a factor. Kimo, Ilanisto Saras Sarasa, Afagav de Einba Ela Iser Eishas Ach Lechuda. Now what's fascinating about this is two things. Number one, what's he talking about? Who's he talking about? Talking about Ravasi. Now, we don't pass like Ravasi, we pass like Rava. I think everybody passes like Rava. He's saying this situation, even though technically there's no Isa Kalal Isa, and therefore there's no Achos Isha, nonetheless, because Mikla Tale Bekai, because looming in the background would be Achos Isha, right? Therefore, not only is there not going to be Yibum, there's going to be a Ptur of Tzaras Erva as well, even though right now there's officially no Tzaras Erva. How come? So he says, because Eshes Ach can also generate a kind of Tzaras Erva. How do we know that? In the case of Islandus. right? But that's Sarvasa, you don't pasuk like Sarvasa. So apparently, what you have to say is that even though we don't paskin like Ravasi, Tosfos here at least understands that the yisod of Ravasi, right, is accepted, just that the application is not accepted. In other words, in the end of the day, we think that Island is, right, is too much of an exclusion, not as much of an exclusion. There are two Yerushalmis, as I mentioned, I'll try to get back to them. Well, doesn't look like I'll get to it tonight, so I guess I will finish next time. But the point that two Yerushalmis, right? The first Yerushalmi is the one we said, Lo Dayeka, like, you know, what's wrong really with Islandists? The other Yerushalmi says, if you just look at it very quickly, just to get it in again, so the Yerushalmi ask the question, how come if you double up the dinim, you say that there's number one Islandists, and number two, Erva, that somehow the Tsaros become Mutaros? If it was only Erva, they wouldn't be Mutaros. So Islandists is a reason. It's not a reason to add a pagua, a pagam, or a psul, but it's not a reason to be makshir, is it? That's Yerushalmi here. Ilu bitomin anisun below island is sarasa asura. If you only had bito, and she wasn't an islandist, there would be a ptur. There would be an isur tsaros. Mibneshin itosif la island is sarasa pateras. So the Gemara says, Amalai, island is kimi shena ba'olam. Yeah, you're right, absolutely, it is better. But the reason it's better is because it's worse. It's so much worse that it's better. Meaning, she's so excluded that she's just not a candidate, and she doesn't disqualify someone, to tarnish them, right, to infect them, right, you have to be part of the group. But if you're quarantined to begin with because you're so excluded, you're just not part of the parsha, so it turns out that, you know, it doesn't matter what you have, you just never get close enough. So there are two Yerushalmis, one of which seems to say, Lo Dayeka, even Islandists should really be a candidate, but, right, some Rishonim said, the Ptur Chalitza is only because of it, Kalena Olu Yibamon, Chalitza. That's one perspective, right? The Gzeres HaKasuv, Asher Teled, Pratla Islandist is needed, because otherwise you might think maybe she's really a candidate. That's one perspective. And then the opposite perspective is, you know, without a kama shame, she's mufka legamri, it's not a karu zakena, not even shris, it's not shris adam, right? She developmentally, she could never have children. That's the hagdara of this woman. It isn't even just that lebaisa, she can't have children. It's developmentally, meaning that, like, it's biologically how, you know, what defines her, unfortunately. So the point is, you know, in a pursuit of a gamri, in a bolam. That's the language that the Rambam uses. The Rambam quotes practically both of these Rishonim. That's part of, I'll finish it up next week. But the point I'm trying to make is, so I think what Tosfos is saying is, the Yisod of Ravasi we like. We just think it's wrong because she's too excluded or she's not enough excluded. But if she was, then we'd apply the Din of Ravasi. What is the Din of Ravasi? So for these two Tosas, the comparison to Haka Shalaya Balamo and this Tosas here, it seems that what we're saying is a third shot. Not the idea that, well, once she's excluded, then she becomes a Shasak. Once she becomes a Shasak, that's the Din of Tzar. That's a view that we do find in Rashi and Tosas a lot in the first parak of Yivamos and elsewhere. I don't think these two particular Tosin are saying that, but there are other Tosin that say it, certainly many Rashis. It works very nicely with the whole idea of the Chuya, which Rashi and Tosis mostly embrace, and that's fine and good. The problem with that idea is the problem, and by the way, that's Rabbi Kivager's view, just to highlight it. The Mishnah says that there's a tour of Tzoros Erva. One of the 15 Ervas is in the group, then all the Tzoros are excluded. The Mishnah also says there's a Ptur of Tzoros Erva and so Kol Olam. What does that mean? What it means is if Reuven dies and then Shimon, right, and Shimon is excluded from all the candidates because one of them is an Erva to him, but Levi, the third brother, right, is able to be Miyabim. And he's Miyabim, one of the Tzaros. Not the problem one for Shimon, but one of the Tzaros. Right? And then Levi dies, right, and he leaves, and he was married, Betoras Yibum, to one of the Tzaros, and he had his own two wives. And now Shimon once again faces a Yibum situation from Levi, but one of the wives is not the Erva from the first one, but a Tsaras Erva of the first one, right? Everybody with me? So the din is that Tsaras Erva, Sof Kol Olam, it doesn't matter, they're all excluded. So Rabbi Kveger has this very famous question that everybody, all the Akron quoted. The Gemara Yud Gimel and Aleph seems to have two deos. The one day of the Gemara seems to be that you need a separate limud to teach you the din of Tsaras Tsara. Now, even if you knew the din of Tsaras Erva, right, you need another Tsaras Akasa to teach you the din of Tsaras Tsaras Erva. So Rabbi Kveger says, I don't understand. The second that you have Tsaras Erva and he's excluded, she's excluded, that reduces to a din of Heshasach. But the second that, and that's the reason that Tsaras Erva is excluded, because it's Tsaras Erva. So there's no such thing as Tsaras Erva at Sof Olam. This is Rabbi Kveger's comment. Every Tsaras Erva at Sof Olam is basically just Tsaras Erva. So why do you need a Tsaras Akasa? What? What isn't two wrongs on the line? Meaning this is what she assumes the status of Eishasach, and there are consequences of it. So just to contrast Rabbi Kveger, there's this known shita, just give me one more minute, of Rabbi Chaim. They say in the name of Rabbi Chaim, Rabbi Chaim felt that the Easter of Eishasach, is obviously very unique in the context of Yibum, because the whole point is that Yibum is, Eishasach. But it's a different aspect. It's the opposite impact of Eishasach. So Rav Chaim said, well, how come we don't find that every time? And again, this is the question that Mishnah Melech mentioned before and so on. Why don't we just say that every time there's no Yibum, there's always Eishasach, and every time there's Eishasach, there's always, Ketur Erva and Tsaras Erva and so on, but it's not true. For example, that Tanai case that I mentioned before, where the woman said, where the man says to the woman, you can marry anybody but this one person. Right? And then she goes ahead and marries his brother, and now there's a Yibum situation with that one guy. So you can't implement the Yibum. But most of the Rishonim, this is a debate between the Ramban and the Rajba, but the Bali Tosus and the Ramban both think there's no Tsaras Erva in that case. So Reb Chaim says, how come there's no Tsaras Erva? Let it be Eishasach? Right? Or, the Gemara later on, on Lamed Bava Meraleth, with the famous riots of Reb Chaim. I think all of them are Nitan Liyashe, but I think they're important. The Gemara there says, if the woman is pregnant when her husband dies, and the question is whether the Vlad is going to be Shel Kayama or not. Right? So the Gemara has two scenarios. We talked a lot about the first one. Let's say the Vlad is not Shel Kayama. Right, but in the interim, he did Yibum or Chalitza, so it turns out he bet correctly. Does that work or not, or do you have to do it again? That we talked about. That's important to this as well. But the Gemara in Lamed Bava Meraleth has the opposite case. Let's say he bet incorrectly, and it turns out that the child was viable and she gave birth. So the Gemara seems to say that in that circumstance, he'll have to bring a Korban Chatas. However, the Gemara also seems to say that if there are tsaros, right, who are not pregnant, they are only going to be excluded and disqualified once the child is born. We won't say, l'mafreya, in retrospect, that the tsaros were not omedes lezika already from the time of the pregnancy. So Reb Chaim asked, how come we say that there's a key of kares and chatas, l'mafreya, which is based only on Eishasach, can only be based on Eishasach, and yet, if she's already an Eishasach, why isn't there a Petur Tzara based on Eishasach? So this is Reb Chaim's famous Yisod, which is exactly the opposite. Rabbi Kveger is saying, what do I need Psufim for Tzara's Erva, right? And Reb Chaim is saying, even where there seems to be a real Eishasach, Eishasach me'osa mefila, is what he called it, there's not an Erva. Why? Again, we only have reports of it. I don't think we have this originally. The Birch HaShmuel quotes it, the Rabbi Chanan Basin, they all quote the Alde Achronim, the Talmid of Rabbi Chaim, the Emre Moshe. They all quote this in his name, and they all quote it slightly differently, some more, definitively, some less. The idea obviously seems to be based on this Yisod, that Eishas Ach is just different. It's not, doesn't have the same status as Erva here as the other Ervas, because it is different, because that's what Yibam is. So the truth is, you could have said three things. Right? One of three things. You could have said, you know, that, okay, fine, whenever we're in Matir Yibum, then Eshesach is different, but if we're not Matir the Yibum and there's an Issa, then it becomes a regular Eshesach, a regular Erva. And that's what a lot of the Rishonim are saying and the Achronim are saying. Or you could have said even more. You could have said, you know what, Tzaras Erva that didn't Dafka an Eshesach. That's that every time there's an Erva, there's always an Eshesach as well. In other words, if Tzachos Ishto, that just determines that there's an Isra Eshesach, which is not overcomable, and it's Midin Eshesach always. I think there's some Achron and Aruch Laner and others, I think, who implicitly hold that as well. Maybe Rambam Pirshus Shnayis and Rav Menahar in their explanation of Tzoros in the context of Yibum and outside of Yibum. And then there's a third Shita, and that's Reb Chaim's idea, which is even where there's an Isur Eshesach, but it's a consequence of, you know, an unacceptable Yibum situation, because it's Eshesach, doesn't trigger Tzaras Erva. Ah, so how far do you go with this? So they took it very far, the Achronim, and they don't want to say, one of the questions that they ask is, Rav Asi, what do you do with Rav Asi? Islandis, you know, that's why they think that the Rashi that we started with is, they think that's Rav Asi, and maybe that's proof of the Machlokas Rav and Rav Asi, whether Rav Chaim's right. But if you hold up Rav Chaim, you can't hold up Rav Asi in that sheet. I'm not so sure about it, and especially for Tosas on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph and Tosas on Ches Amud Aleph, comparing it to Akos Shaloba Yalohayam Balobo, comparing it to Akos Isha Mitl Talubakai, I think what they're saying is, and this is the third Shita, and with this we'll conclude, what they're saying is, even if it's true that Eishas Ach is a result, what I call the result Eishas Ach, if Reb Chaim is right, or I don't mean Reb Chaim specifically, if the halacha is that you don't get a Tzaras Erva of a consequence of Eishas Ach, even if that's true, sometimes the circumstances underscore that it's what I would call a primary or a causal or a primordial Eshesach. That's what Eshesach Shalom Elomo is. Right? Eshesach Shalom Elomo is because this little lady or little Yehuda, it was Eshesach Yaakov, he's Eshesach as pure Erva with no candidacy. Not a result of, oh, he was an thing, but he missed out, he's disqualified. That's not the way to look at it. So I think what Rav Asi is saying is, I see Islandis that way. Meaning, if there's no possibility of period of Arivia, it's not just, oh, there's no possibility of period of Arivia. That's a different family relationship. Right? Meaning, something we said in the beginning of the year, in the context of the possibility at least, or Tziruv to period of Arivia, the larger family concept to see Yibum, it's Kieshu Acham Yachtov, and that's part of what it is. I started the year by saying, you know, why does Masechet Yevamos begin Nashim? Right, I was trying to say that because the idea of extended family obligation, right, is highlighted in many ways by Yibum more than anything else, even though it's such an exceptional case. Right, beyond the grave, the obligation to your brother, the fact that she's part of a family, a larger family, and so on. So the point is, you don't have that. You know, that aspect of it is missing in Kieshu Acham Yachtov and Acham Shalei Balamo, and it's also missing in the context of Islandis. There never was a potential of children here. There never was an extended family ties possibility. So maybe Rav Asi says it's not a resultant Eshesach. It's what I call a primary Eshesach. This is an Eshesach which is pure Erev of Eshesach, the rivalry sense, without any of the other aspect of it. Ah. There you don't apply the idea that Eshesach is different than the other Erevos, because this isn't the result; it's the consequence. It's the causal, and that I think is the comparison to the looming when there's Achos Isha. So the point is, the Shia candidate, she's Eshesach, but she's also Achos Isha. So right, technically, the Enis or Chalalisa, but that doesn't mean she isn't a sister-in-law in both senses. She's his wife's sister. Right? You could say that Kedushas Isha Shal Yibum, you know, with his wife's sister, just because Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur, and if there was no Yisur, it isn't the Chomer HaYisur, it's the appropriate candidate. That's Eshesach. That's not Yibum. This is Rav Asi Shita. What I want to finish up with in 2 weeks, well, I guess we'll go back to the Chachamim, and then we'll try to speak, you know, in larger terms. How do they understand of the Din of Ayilonis. The two Yerushalmis, how that works into the Rambam, the Ramban, and so many others.